Hello, and welcome to the Melton Truck Line's True Blue Podcast. In this episode, we're specifically targeting drivers that are interested in our orientation or currently on their way to our orientation. I sat down with our orientation manager, Joe Wingard, and our orientation supervisor, Chris Casey. We had a discussion about what their expectations were for drivers coming into orientation and some tips for making your driver's orientation a more pleasant experience. You'll notice Joe and I give Chris just a little bit of guff. Chris has no trouble standing in front of an orientation class and delivering a class or working out on the securement yard and teaching drivers how to flatbed. But you put a microphone in front of his face, apparently, and he gets just a little bit shaky. Props to Chris, though, for powering through it. The man never says quit, and I think we got the job done. Maybe we'll get Chris back on another podcast and give him a chance to redeem himself. So, without further ado, here's my discussion with Joe and Chris about orientation. All right. Welcome, everybody, to the first training edition of the Melton Truck Line's True Blue Podcast. I'm sitting here with Joe Wingard, our orientation manager, and Chris Casey, one of our orientation supervisors. And today we're going to talk about what to expect when you come to a Melton Truck Line's orientation.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm glad you're listening to this, and we got a lot of good information to share with you. We're going to let Chris give most of the information, and I'm just going to kind of answer questions when he talks to me about it.
So some of the stuff you can expect when coming to orientation, so when you first get here, we're going to have a little welcome speech, welcome you guys to orientation and congratulating you and thanking you on coming to Melton and choosing us as your company. One of the first things we'll start with is, like on Monday, our physicals. We'll do like an eye test, blood pressure test, and then we'll do what's called an ergo testing. We're checking your balance and making sure you can lift up tarps without injuring yourself. Pretty simple stuff. And then when you're arriving, you'll probably come on like a bus, a rental car, or airplane, or personal vehicle.
Let me add something for you fellas. If you kind of heard that Chris is a little bit uncomfortable right now, I'll bet you're going to feel the same way when you get here. You know, this is new for you, whether you're coming from another trucking company, you haven't driven in a while, you're coming straight out of school. This is going to be a new environment for you. Maybe you've never even seen Oklahoma before. The biggest thing I would like you to remember is I want to help you relax. I want to help this be a situation where you can learn and where we can help you be successful. So probably some of the keys for you coming in is try to get some rest. Even if you're on that bus right now, try to get the best rest you can. When you do get to the hotel, try to get some sleep. When you get here that morning on Sunday, we'll set everything up for you. We'll lay out what we're going to do for the day, and we want to guide you through the entire process. Now, that process is going to have a lot of things in it. Chris mentioned the physicals. And let's talk a little bit about the physical quickly here. You're already on your way. And so there's some things you may not be able to get if you've forgotten them. Hopefully you've already brought them. But if not, maybe when you're done listening to this, pick up the phone and call home and somebody can get it in an electronic means to get to us. If you have high blood pressure or diabetes or any other medical condition, we're going to need to see some type of documentation from your doctor saying that everything's going well. A list of your medications, potentially if you maybe have a heart situation, your latest EKG. If you are on a CPAP machine, we will need your printed report for your compliance. I'm sure the recruiters have already talked to you about that stuff, but just one more time for us to mention it to you. Getting that rest will also help you with the vision test. You've all had DOT physicals before. They do the whisper test for your hearing. If you wear glasses, please make sure you bring them. We have actually had people forget to bring their glasses. If you have the restriction on your license, we cannot put you in that truck for your road drive without the glasses with you. Okay, and then since we're talking about bringing things, some of the documents that you need to have with you. Everybody should have their driver's license. Please don't leave it in the hotel. We'll also need to see your Social Security card or a birth certificate. If you do not have either one of those, please mention those to us early when you get here. We can talk about other methods to either get them to us or other types of documentation we can use. If you're in the country on a work permit, we'll also need to see that. If you have your passport, quick card, the hazmat endorsement on your license, or any other endorsements that go with truck driving, we'll also need to see those. Why do we need to see them, you may ask? I want to help get you money. And some of those will actually get you extra pay. So let's get the documentation done right early so you don't have the snags with it later. How about if we let Chris talk to you a little bit more about our ergonomics testing?
All right, so how the ergonomic works is we'll start standing on 1 foot for 30 seconds. Just make sure you got a good balance. On this line of work, you need good balance so you can walk around on these trailers without falling. You got to have an average of at least 20 seconds or greater. All you got to do is stand on 1 foot for 30 seconds and not touch the ground or wobble too much.
You probably want to practice before you actually get here just to make sure that you can do it and really be able to kind of get that set that you can balance for 20 seconds, because you don't want to wait until the last second to get here and then find out, oh my gosh, that's an issue for me.
Yes. Yes, you definitely want to practice. Try to stand on it for at least a minute each leg so you're used to it when you get here. Try different shoes like boots or tennis shoes, whatever kind of shoes you got. Find out where you're more comfortable and balanced with. You don't want to get here, have a boot that's heavier on one side and fall over because of that boot.
So I notice this older gentleman will sometimes have issues with this. It's actually a physiological thing. As we age, the fluid in your inner ear tends to thicken. And that can cause balance issues to where you've never had trouble with it before and you don't even think about it. But all of a sudden, when you're put to the test, it can become an issue.
Absolutely. And fellas, again, let's go back to what we're trying to do, which is to help you be successful. The last thing in the world I want to see is for you to fall or some other way get hurt. And that's why we're checking these balance issues. There's a lot of things that go into the testing, so I don't want you to get kind of wrapped up around the axle about it. We just want to make sure that you're set to do this job properly, efficiently, effectively, and safely. And we're also going to have you pick up some tarps. Chris, what do they weigh?
30, 60, and 90.
Okay. So we start progressively with a lighter tarp, and we're wanting to see your techniques of how you lift, and also then that you can physically lift those tarps. We also have them out. They're on a video, aren't they, Chris?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
And I think that video that you probably have heard from the recruiters about it, whether you got online to look at them or not, you may not have. But if you have the opportunity, they're at the meltontruck.com/orientation.php. I'm pretty sure you had an email or something from the recruiters about it. But if you have a chance, go back on there and look, and that'll actually show you some examples of people doing the ergonomics testing as well as the tarp lift.
Quite a bit on our YouTube channel there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, when you get here, you'll see that I'm not a young guy, so all of this technology stuff amazes me. I hope that all of you understand it. We'll do a drug test. Mm-hmm. We will do the DOT standard urine test, mm-hmm. and we will also do a hair follicle test. Now, our standard of testing with the hair follicle is it should go back about 3 months, depending on if there was usage before then and it was heavy, it could go back up to 6 months. Mm-hmm. But rather than having anybody be concerned about the test, I'd like to say it to you this way. If you have used any substance that you feel could make that test be positive, we'd like you to talk to us about it. We have a fairly good idea of what will be positive, what will not be positive, and we can talk about how that all would work out. We understand that in society in general, things can happen. Whether we've taken a prescription drug that was prescribed to us or prescribed to somebody else, a legal substance and illegal substance, those things might happen. We're not looking down on anybody about any of it. We just have to make sure that we can meet the DOT requirements, that we can have you safely out there driving a vehicle. But also, I'd like to ensure that we're not going to set you up for failure of a positive test, and that's something that we can discuss.
Because that can be a really serious deal.
Right.
A positive drug screen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you've been in the industry for a while, you're quite aware of that. If you're fairly new to the industry, I like to summarize it this way. We're driving an 80,000-pound machine, and probably not being distracted is a very good idea. And there are DOT regulations as well as just common sense regulations about not using substances that can alter our sense of reality while we're operating that vehicle. Now, all that being said, again, I know I keep going back to it, but we really are here to help you succeed.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other reason for us to do this. It doesn't make sense for you to waste your time, for us to waste our time, if you're not going to succeed. So we're trying to help you. Chris and Jason down here in Tulsa. We've got Brandon and John out in Birmingham. We'll be kicking off again in Majorie here shortly. The entire team, and including the safety team also with all the fellas and everybody else, we're here to help you succeed. Now, sometimes that means that we can have to talk to you about unfortunate events, but we're still here to help you be successful.
Well, and to make sure that you're a good match. As a former orientation supervisor myself, I remember, and I'm sure it hasn't changed, a lot of times where we get tripped up is with guys that, you know, the recruiter asks all these questions, particularly to the drug test, and it's a little easier probably to not be as honest over the phone with the recruiter than when all of a sudden now you're face-to-face with the cup and the Clippers to actually do the drug test, and now it just got serious. You got to believe us, guys. We actually do the testing. You're going to be expected to do it. And we got, unfortunately, we get too many guys that try and beat the system. It doesn't work out for them. And they spend an entire week here just to end up getting sent home and or possibly ruining their careers with a positive drug screen on their record.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to see that happen to you.
And it unfortunately happens a little too often.
One time in a year is too often. But unfortunately, yes, it does happen more than that.
Yeah.
So Pax brings up a very good point about honesty. And I want to refer you to our 12 traditions, which are our core principles here at Melton Truck Lines. Yes, we do have 12 of them. They're rather extensive. But the main one, number one, is honesty. It says, we believe in honest, open communication. We encourage new thoughts, ideas, and questions. Criticism should be constructive, include suggestions for a better way. Fellas, this is what it means. I'm going to tell you the truth. I do apologize to you when you get here. I'm also going to apologize to you right now. If that truth hurts you, I'm sorry. But we will always tell you the truth.
No sugarcoating.
There is no sense. Guys, come on. You're a truck driver. So was I. So was Chris. So was Pax. You don't want it sugarcoated. You want to hear the truth, and that's what we're going to tell you. And so with that drug testing or really anything else, we're going to tell you the truth. I ask you to do the same thing to us. There are many things in your past that have happened. You can't change them. Don't we all wish we could change some of those things? You've told the recruiters probably everything that's happened, but maybe there's something you just didn't remember. How about let us know? Let us know early. I'll tell you this, I can deal with 98% of everything you tell me as long as I know about it. We'll do some significant background checks on you. And I get more concerned if things come back on that check that you did not tell us about, because now we have to dig much deeper, and it makes me concerned about what else are you not telling me. Just be upfront about it. This probably isn't the appropriate arena for me to tell you some of the things I've heard, but we have stories, and we can deal with almost anything. All right, so let's transition next into getting here. Whether you're, like Chris said, the bus, the rental car, the airplane, coming in your own vehicle, somehow you're getting here to orientation. When you arrive, the hotel knows when you're arriving, and the hotel is set to pick you up. In your welcome packet, it should have given you a phone number to call either when you arrive, or I know specifically here in Tulsa, we like you to call about 20 minutes before you arrive so that the hotel can be there to pick you up and you're not waiting. Please do that. We will pick you up. We'll get you to the hotel. You'll be into the hotel. And then that following morning, if you're coming in on the Saturday, then you'll come in for Sunday in class and the hotel will do that transport. If you're unsure, call the phone number early. If you have a delay in your transportation, please call your recruiter. They have that 24-hour number. You can also call the hotel to let them know that you're delayed, to make sure that you're getting picked up. From there, accommodations-wise, you may have worked out the recruiter with the recruiters to have the single room. You may have worked different transportation arrangements. I'm not aware of those until after you get here. But if there's problems, we can always deal with those, which I know I'm rambling a little bit, but let me go on to the next thing. Fellas, if you don't tell us what's going on, we don't know, and I can't help you.
Communicate.
If there's a problem at the hotel, if there was a problem on the bus, if your roommate snores so loud that you couldn't sleep that night, if you let us know about it, we can try to do the right thing to take care of the situation. Just please be open and honest with us, and we'll do the right things by you. I've been talking an awful lot, Chris, so why don't we let you go for a while? Tell them a little bit about our truck and kind of the road drives and how we'll do those.
We test in a T600. Mm-hmm. We got automatic and we got a 10-speed. So if you're not used to a 10-speed but you want to drive one, if you look up the pattern on them, get used to like learning how to shift them so you feel comfortable when you get here. The drive's only 1.2 miles long. It's like four turns.
For the student drivers.
For the student drivers,
experienced fellas, you'll do a more standard DOT road test.
Yes. So for the students, it's only four turns for each four-way stops. I think the fastest we go is 35 on those roads. The main things we're looking for is that you can be safe and operate the vehicle safely, like stopping before the stop sign, wearing your seatbelt, not speeding, keeping it in your own lane where you don't have lane control issues. If you can do those things, there's a pretty good chance you're going to have any problems with it at all.
We mentioned our YouTube channel earlier that you can get to through meltontruck.com/orientation. And on there, I'm actually driving a road test. So you can go on there and see the road test as it's driven. So it's not a surprise. The gear patterns on there, me taught. I've got a couple of videos on there for the road test. So if you want to know what's coming up, you can do a little bit of research, use up a little bit of your data plan on your phone, and check out those videos.
Yeah. Here's something interesting. Now, you notice Pax had called it a road test, and I called it a road drive. And there's a big difference, because when you hear a test, you just got all uptight about it, didn't you? So let me tell you about something we have for all of you people that have to go with the trainer. We actually have 5 positions down here in Tulsa for an additional 40 hours of road training for 5 people a week. And if we identify maybe some things that we see on your road drive, we'd like you to get some more time behind the wheel, that will actually hold you, continue to pay you for that week, and have you go out with Tulsa Tech is one of the local colleges down here that has a road training program. They'll take you out driving for an additional 40 hours. And that is true even of the students, trainees, our refresher fellas that go down to Birmingham as we start that. Those 5 positions are eligible for whoever we identify is the 5 people we'd like to get that additional training.
We have a pretty good success rate with that too, don't we, getting guys to the trainer?
Absolutely fantastic success rate. I'll tell you fellas a little story. Every person that we decide is going to go with this Tulsa Tech driving program complains about it. To the person, oh, that's an extra week before I go to the trainer. And that's true, it is. At the end of that week, I have yet to hear a single person say, darn it, I'm so glad you sent me there because I've learned more now than I did in school. And so, yes, it does extend you for a week. Guys, we still pay you for that time.
That brings up a good point with our students that are coming typically straight from schools. And I feel it's really hit or miss with the schools. Some guys get good training. Some guys don't. We've got some guys that are just natural talents that come from bad schools and perform well. And we've got some guys that could do better that came from good schools. So it runs the gamut of talent and experience and training as to what your skill set's going to be when you hit the ground here at Melton Truck Lines. And then we have to take you out over the road to evaluate and see where it is that you're at.
Yes. And the whole trainer process is about developing the driving skill, but we have a certain level of competence that we need to see before you go with the trainer. And so this additional driving is just to ensure that we have that certain level for our road trainers to then be able to work with.
Because we're putting you behind the wheel in a real truck, on real roads with real traffic when you go with it.
Yes.
So at that point, you've got to reach the minimum standard.
Yes. It's not a DOT road test. It's not the you went down to get your license road test. We may have a piece of paper with us, but it's only recording our knowledge so we remember what you did. It is not a checklist, pass, fail type of a thing. Chris, what's probably the biggest thing you could tell a guy about going out on the road drive to start?
So just relax, take a breath, relax, mess with the equipment a little bit, play with the pedals, get used to them. They're probably different than what you're used to. A lot of people have a problem. They'll take off real quick and start jumping the truck, or they'll hit the brakes, slam on them. They're not used to them. They're used to different type of pedals. Biggest thing you do is just first thing, get in there, relax, and drive maybe 10 feet forward just to play with the brake.
Check things out, kind of see where it's at.
Yes, like you said, we're not DOT officers. We're happy. I don't know if you've ever seen a DOT officer happy, but we're happy.
I met a few happy DOT officers.
They're probably taking people's minds away.
They're just doing their job.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And fellas, the same thing. When you get into that truck, you're doing your job. You're just showing us that you can do the job. Now, let's go to the automatic, because you did mention that we have automatic trucks also.
Yes.
Some of you will have the automatic restriction on your license. We cannot vary from that. You must be in an automatic truck. The rest of you that do not have the automatic restriction, but you have automatic experience, would probably be more comfortable taking the road drive in the automatic truck. I'm not going to discourage you from doing that. If you can, I would prefer that you do the road drive in the 10-speed truck. Now, if it just doesn't work in the 10-speed, then we'll take you back out in the automatic. But I'd like you to try to give that 10-speed the shot first. Right now, as a company, we're at about 45% automatic trucks. We're replacing quite a few this year, buying some more. And so we'll be around 66% automatic trucks by the end of 2018. So as we progress through the year, I think that the number of trainers in automatics will increase.
It is right now as we're recording this, kind of a weird transition period for us as we're transitioning to an entirely automatic fleet. That presented you with some challenges in how we put guys in trucks. We want guys to be comfortable. If you're not comfortable with the 10-speed, it's like you said, maybe step out of your comfort zone for a little bit, give it a shot, because there's no fail there.
No.
There's no fail there, but you can give it a try and see, maybe you like it. And then if it does turn out that we put you, you know, can put you with a 10-speed, that's a skill that you didn't have before.
Yes.
That you can.
Absolutely. You know. And it all relates back to not only the trainer assignment, but even the fellas that are going to be placed on a truck on Thursday afternoon to start hauling loads. Mm-hmm. We want you to be comfortable in the truck you're in, but I don't want to have you sitting around because I don't have a truck available for you. And so I want you to be able to do anything. Think of it this way. If you test in a 10-speed and all I have is available is an automatic truck, I can put you in an automatic truck. But if we take you out in an automatic truck, I cannot put you into that 10-speed until I verify that you're able to drive a 10-speed truck. Yeah, I don't know how many of you have been to casinos or whatever, but you try to play the odds, right? And so I would say playing the odds, let's try to have you tested in the 10-speed if at all possible.
And has that been a big factor lately with that? I know we got an influx of guys that were automatic restricted.
Right now the recruiters are restricting the number of people each week that are automatic restricted just to control getting people into trucks and the availability of trucks.
Okay.
As the availability gets greater for automatics in the fleet, mm-hmm. then I think that number will increase. Just this morning, Chris was over with the shop checking out where we actually now have automatic training trucks, one in Birmingham, one in Tulsa, that are in the process of getting the seats in the back and all that. So we had checked.
Converted.
And probably we're sure by the 28th of January, which is the kickoff for Birmingham, mm-hmm. we'll have the training trucks in each location full-time dedicated for automatic testing. And so we're progressing also. Now, for those of you that are like, no way, I don't want to drive an automatic truck. I don't want to say I have bad news for you, but as Melton Truck Lines, we are going to be an all automatic fleet probably another 2 to 3 years before we get there. So let's address the 5-day fellas who get a truck on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Guys, this is not Monty Hall, let's make a deal, or any other special program. When it comes time to issue trucks, the shop will tell us what trucks are available, and those are the trucks that will be issued to the fellas in class. Now, if by chance they have a truck that will exactly match what you prefer, we'll do the best we can to have you in that truck. But I cannot be able to sit here and guarantee you certain things in a truck until I see what is available. Some of you have made arrangements with the recruiters for special consideration, and I will honor those special considerations, as long as I have the truck that will meet that. I'll just give you one example. Please don't think that this is what it is every week. I'm just trying to give an example. Mm-hmm. I have four people in class that ask for condo Freightliner. There are nine people in class getting trucks. And the numbers that I get that week are all Kenworth midroofs. I can't meet that expectation because I don't have the vehicle to meet for you. But otherwise, we'll do the best we can. Communication. You have to communicate to us what your desires are so we can try to meet them.
And in that case, they're expressing a preference, which you, of course, will try to meet if you can.
Yes.
But it's not a locked-in deal. I'm going to come to Melton Truck Lines and I want to drive a Freightliner, because that's not realistic.
No.
You know, we predominantly a Kenworth fleet. Even if you're talking about specific models of Kenworths, we can only meet with what's available. So feel free to express your preference, and we'll do the best we can to meet that preference. Don't get wrapped up too much. You know, once you put 8-10 years in and hit that million mile mark, then you can lock in what kind of truck you want.
Yeah, exactly. You get your million miles, you're going to get the truck you want.
Right.
And, you know, pick the color and the whole bit and trick it out.
If you go to the
other, that comes with time.
Go to the other section of this podcast site, you're going to find a couple of conversations with some million milers that'll tell you what it's like to reach that level.
Yes. Oh, and they get some sweet trucks.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? I want to see every one of you here this long. I think you're going to find what you've already researched, but I think you're going to find we got a darn good product here. It really is a family atmosphere. And like we said with the honesty, I'm not kidding you. We want to help you succeed. Everything we do this week is about succeeding.
And it's all about culture, too.
Yes.
And that's kind of what we're trying to do with, you know, with our videos and with our podcasts and a lot of our multimedia, is to let people know about that Melton culture, which is probably different than, you know, based on the guys that come here and talk about their stories with other companies and how they were treated and what we're like to deal with office staff and driver managers and things like that. I think you're going to find a big change when you come to Melton Truck Lines in regards to how we treat drivers and the type of people that we hire to interact with drivers and who value drivers.
Yes. You know, another way to say that, Pax, is Melton understands who the hub of the wheel this business really is.
Absolutely.
And that's our drivers. And our efforts are dedicated towards the driver. Now, of course, you know, we have to sell and we have to book the freight and all that stuff. But our focus at Melton Truck Line is on our drivers. Chris, you get to be the bad news guy. Tell them about homework.
Homework, yeah. Every night, the first thing we're going to tell you for your homework to be is call home. Set up a supportive network with home. We're going to get that going. Very important. Then we're going to give you logs to do every night. So you get used to doing a logbook because you got to have those. Yes, we're going to electronic logs, but electronics fail. Not a matter of if, but when. So you got to make sure you can do an actual logbook.
Do you find that by doing a paper logbook, it kind of gets guys more into the rules and gets them a little bit more established through the rules than if they were to try to do, you know, an electronic log?
Almost definitely,
yeah. It
kind
of does it for them. So you didn't and having a better understanding of the rules of logs, then they go out and they do better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you can do a logbook and you understand, like, the rules with all the, like, the hour rules, you do a lot better. Because if you're on electronic log, mm-hmm. you don't know them. You're just going by what this computer says. Hey, you got to take a break in 30 minutes. You don't know why, you just know it says do it. So if you get pulled over by DOT and you ask, well, why haven't you done your 30-minute break? Like, well, the computer didn't say, because you didn't know, because the computer went down half an hour ago. So that's why logbooks are so important to know. Then we're going to give you a pre-planned homework, which is where we give you a little paper and a scenario of, like, a trip, and you got to plan it out, plan your stops, stuff like that. That way you can get used to doing it when you're on the road, and when you get on your own truck, you ain't surprised, like, how do I figure out where I'm stopping for the night? Don't be one of those people who drive and 30 minutes before they stop, figure out where they're going to stop.
No. Those are the guys I'm calling because they got log violations the night before. Right. And I get the email anytime you get a log violation. So,
what's the major purpose for why we use the logs and the trip planning in the homework? This is why, fellas. I want to help you make more money.
Right.
And if you truly understand how the hours of services work together with trip planning, just moving around the country, being efficient with your operations, you will make more money. Potentially, that could relate into an extra load a week. 450 miles is an average length of haul
right.
per day. Well, if you add an extra load a week, now you've just made your paycheck bigger. So again, we want to help you be successful. And so part of that success is understanding how to move around.
One of our coworkers, I think, says it best, where, you know, we say that we're paying you per mile, cents per mile. That's what you're going to get quoted. You drive this many miles, and we're going to pay you this many cents. But in reality, if you don't have hours on your logbook, you don't use those hours well, you don't have any hours to drive those miles. You don't use those hours efficiently, you're going to make less money. And we've identified in numerous occasions that the guys that set the top of the food chain in regards to pay do very good with trip planning, make very efficient use of their hours, very rarely do 34-hour reset. So when it's all said and done, the whole reason you're here and the reason why you're going out there and being away from your family's money, we want to make it's boring, it's dry stuff. You know, nobody likes to talk about logs or do logs or any of that stuff. But it's really key to you being successful.
Yeah, and the homework itself can be time-consuming, but it all has that end result of you being more efficient to be able to make more money.
Which is why we assign it as homework. Because exactly. If we tried to do that in class, a lot of that in class, we'd have a two-week-long orientation.
Two-week-longs and 14 hours a day, which we did think about because a truck driver has the 14 hours to drive their 11.
Right.
But that's just that's I don't want to see your face that often. No, I'm kidding, fellas. What we want to do is we want to give you the opportunity to develop your skills overall as an over-the-road truck driver. Now, let me say this about the homework, too, and in orientation in general. Everything we're doing, it's okay to make mistakes because we learn by our mistakes. And so we just want you to give it your honest effort. In the past, people have copied off of each other. In general, we catch those. Every once in a while, we don't. But we're pretty good at it. Seen. But I think you're cheating yourself if you do that. We want you to make your mistakes now. You make your mistake here, you're not going to have a log pile. You're not going to run off a cliff with your truck, but yet you're going to learn and be able to not make that mistake when you're out there on the road. So allow us to identify you making that mistake, help you correct it, be more effective, efficient with your logs, understanding so that you're not making the mistakes when you're. And it's almost the same with the trainer program, which we'll probably do a different podcast with the trainer program.
Yeah, I'll probably do one with Charles.
And so, the homework, the work we do in class, the yard work we do out in the yard, there's a lot of times where we're going to let you make the mistake, as long as it's not going to hurt you, because you're going to learn more as you have to correct that mistake you made, rather than trying to correct you before you made it. Pretty dynamic orientation. We're working with you all the time. It does get a little bit crazy, especially on Mondays, mm-hmm. Between the physicals and the ergo testing and the road drives, filling out paperwork, which we really haven't even talked about yet. it can get crazy, but bear with us. The goal in mind is to make you a successful long-term Melton truck driver.
Is our stuff about the paperwork that we need to address in here?
Yeah, we'll talk about paperwork. Paperwork's kind of not the right word. Now it's computer work.
Right.
We went fairly paperless. So your application and your direct deposit information, how you get paid, a lot of that is actually done on a computer system now. On Sunday morning, we'll show you the system. We'll have you log into the system, but we won't actually use it until Monday morning. And then we'll give you more in-depth ideas about what you have to do. But here's what I really need you to do. We have to have your 10-year work history. And it needs to be fairly close for day by day. We can do it month by month, which is typically what you guys do. But we need everything. If there's a gap and you are unemployed, we need to say that. But if there's a gap and you don't know what you were doing during that period of time, we're going to have you figure it out because we must do a full 10 years. If you brought a resume with you that lists all your jobs, fantastic. You're still going to be key punching them into the computer. There's no way to scan it. If you have some challenges with computers, it's okay. We'll work with that also. I'm not going to push the keys for you, but we'll work with that. In general, it's just we need to apply yourself to getting the forms or whatever we want to call them filled out so that we can get it behind us and move forward. Another thing that we do is the benefits. Now, you will fill out a form for the benefits. It's simply an informational form. Somebody else will actually put it into the computer for you. But there's a few things to remind you about the benefits. Number one, there's information that you must have with you. I can have this stuff in email, in a text form, a picture of it, or you can have it with you. But you must have, if you have a spouse, we must have the marriage certificate. If there are children, we must have their birth certificate. We're going to give you some free life insurance. You may do a 401k, anything that needs a beneficiary. Whoever that beneficiary is, you must have their social security number and date of birth. Have that stuff coming in. You will streamline your process. Now, with your dependents, your spouse and your children, we also need their social security numbers and dates of birth. Well, if you have the birth certificate, we've got the date of birth. But we do need the social security number. You don't need to see the card, the number. That by itself will streamline your process. But I'm going to help you out because most of you listening to this are probably thinking, I don't do anything with benefits. My spouse tells me what to do. We're actually going to provide you information both from a website standpoint and also our enrollment guide. We're actually going to give you that on Sunday, but we're not going to collect what you want to do for benefits until Tuesday, which gives you the opportunity to go over it with your spouse. You may have actually already seen some of that. It is available on the website for the pre-orientation, but some of you may have just talked recently to the recruiters or not had a chance to get into that, so we're going to provide that for you. Got pretty good benefit.
Great thing about a podcast is now that you go, you can grab a pencil and a piece of paper. If you want to write this stuff down, just hit rewind, rewind back, and you can grab that list of things that you need, which is mainly, you know, 10-year work history and social security numbers and birth dates for your benefits. And
yeah. And it's probably, I think that stuff is all in your welcome letter from the recruiter. There's a lot of it there, but fellas, I understand you've been bombarded with information. Mm-hmm. You've probably been talking to 15 or 20 different trucking companies. And trying to keep straight what each of us tell you is difficult at best.
Right.
Yeah, podcast, rewind this thing. I'm old, so I write it down. However you do it, put it in your phone or whatever it is you do. But the more that you can apply yourself to this process, the more we have a chance to show you the advanced thing to help you be successful. I would tell you this more than anything else, though, is kind of have fun. If you're uptight about this process and you're nervous about the process, you're not going to hear as much of the information. And again, I can't overemphasize it. We're just here to help you through the process. You have to get to the end. We're just kind of here to keep guiding you on the path. We'll give you the routing instruction, but you all got to follow the route. Let us work with you. We don't want to work against you. I want every one of you to be a successful Melton driver. All right, so last thing to talk about, and Chris is going to take this one too, because I know this gets him when we have different things, but we are going to be doing load securement. This is a flatbed company. Oh, you will be out there working. So, Chris, why don't you take over talking to them about being prepared for the yard?
Yeah, so some of the clothing you're going to want to wear is at least a short sleeve shirt, preferably a long sleeve during the winter months. It's kind of cold out there. You need at least closed-toed shoes, preferably boots with ankle supports, or steel-toe would be best. Some of the places we deliver to won't let you in without steel-toe, so you're going to need them eventually. If you've got PPE, personal protective equipment, like hard hat, safety glasses, gloves, and a safety vest, bring that with you on day one. If not, we'll give it to you relatively cheap. When we give it to you, it's like a third of the cost of anybody else. So if you don't have it, we'll give it for you.
Do they have to pay for that right away?
No. The PPE we hand out, you do not have to pay for it. I think we take it out of your second paycheck.
Yes. Yeah. We payroll deduct it. And fellas, we try to be nice. We hold the papers over here for an extra week before we turn them in just to get you out there running to start getting some paychecks.
Right.
What is it typically? Maybe $30 if a guy gets, I think it's $45 if you get everything.
I think if you get it all, it's Atlas. Like $45, but if you get everything but like knee pads, it's like $38.
Yeah, it's not a lot, fellas, and you can pick and choose what it is that you need. There's a few things that are mandatory, mm-hmm. But most are optional.
Yeah, hard cat, safety glasses, gloves, and proper footwear is pretty standard.
Don't show up to orientation in shorts and a muscle shirt.
But it's hot outside.
You can't have that.
Well, we dress appropriately for the weather.
Yes.
Know? Yeah.
So, but at a certain point, we got to keep stuff covered.
Yeah. Yeah. Fellas, shorts and t-shirts or shorts and muscle shirts in the summertime when it's really hot are really nice when you're driving. Mm-hmm. But if you're out there working a load, you have to be protected, and this steel will cut you up.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so coming to orientation in shorts without having a pair of pants with you means that we will not be able to put you out on the securement yard that day. And the way our schedule is designed, every day, on point, we will be out in the securement yard. Mm-hmm. So if you're the fellow that must be in shorts, I understand that. But please bring the pants with you. The same thing with the protective shoes. We understand not everybody can buy a pair of boots on their way here. And so we will allow you to work on our training yard in tennis shoes or some other closed-toed shoe. But before you go with a trainer or before you are on your own truck, show us that you have a pair of boots. What else about clothing or the yard in general? Wintertime. It's going to be below freezing for the next 3 days here in Tulsa.
Yeah, it is.
Way below.
Some of you guys from Florida have probably never seen cold weather like that.
Especially snow.
I don't have a store here that has coats of every shape and size for people to wear. Please be prepared for the weather. If you're listening to this and it's the summertime and we haven't changed it by then, as far as the podcast goes, but you know, if you have light skin, suntan lotion. I've seen people get some pretty significant sunburn being out in the sun out in the yard. And so just in general, just be prepared for whatever it might happen. Here's an example. In fact, you probably ran into this when you were out driving. Same with you, Chris. You've been running down south, and it's nice and warm. And the next thing you know, you got a load to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and there's about a 50-degree temperature change in 2 days. And you didn't bring your cold weather gear because you weren't expecting it. We're over-the-road truck drivers. We have to be prepared for everything. And it, just again, guys, questions. Please don't hesitate. I'm a Navy veteran, too. So I once had an old mass chief say to me, he said, the only stupid question is the one you don't ask. So I'd rather you ask us the question. We may say, you know what, we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Can we hold your question? Mm-hmm. Or we may be able to answer it right away. But I always want to encourage you to ask. What's the one piece of advice we haven't given, guys, Chris, that you think that would be good just to tell these fellas about coming in?
Shoot, I guess just relax. I mean, it's a long job interview is what this is, but it's really not that hard. You just do the work, obey, so to speak, the rules that we have for safety. You should be good. As long as you do everything like we say, so you don't get hurt or hurt someone next to you, it's easy. I mean, it's a fun environment. It's a family environment. We got good meals. That makes people happy.
Yeah, we fellas here in Tulsa, we have, because of our big corporate building, we actually have catered lunches come over from our cafeteria. In Birmingham, I think we still use a outside company that brings in some lunches, more sandwich type things. And then in Majorie, we also have a company that brings in based on what you've ordered for lunch. Overall, hey, let's do eating for orientation. The hotels have breakfast. Now, they are not order your own omelet and it's 20 miles high and all that. It's a typical hotel type of a breakfast spread. Usually it's a breakfast cereals, waffles, juices, fruit. But take advantage of that. Lunch is always on us, regardless of the spot you're at. And then dinner's on you. All of our locations have some eating establishments fairly close to where the hotel is. There's also plenty of deliveries. And that's kind of how we work. We want to make sure that you stay well-fed and also hydrated. Whether it's the winter or the summer, you can easily dehydrate. So make sure that you're drinking plenty of water. All of our facilities have water fountains available. Also vending machines that have soda or different type snacks in them. Typically, when it gets really hot out, we'll mix up a jug of Gatorade, something like that, to help out with that day. Just in general, take care of yourself. Be prepared for different types of weather. You're no different than an over-the-road truck driver. Be prepared for whatever the road throws at you.
It's kind of what we try to simulate a little bit. As much as we can, we try to simulate, you know, what life is going to be like over the road. You know, having you do a lot of loads, work a lot of loads out in the yard, maybe get you a little tired and then make you think about, you know, a load plan and stuff like that. And when you're just ready to stop for the day and then realize, oh, I still have some stuff I've got to do. So we simulate some of those things just to kind of get you prepared for the what life's going to be like. Some have experienced it. Some have just experienced driving, but not the flatbed aspect of it, which is a huge factor. We got guys that have no experience with life over the road whatsoever. So it's all about preparation.
Absolutely. We just want to do the best we can to have you ready. One more time, I'm going to say it. We want to help you be successful. And that's what we're here to do, is whatever we've got to do in that direction to help you be successful. That's what we want to do. Fellas, if you just come in here ready to go, we all try to have the best attitude possible. Mm-hmm. If there's something that's bugging us, we need to discuss it with somebody. So, and Chris does the same thing with me. I do the same thing with him. If I had a bad night the night before, I'm going to talk to one of these fellas so it's out of my system.
Right.
So I'm ready to go to help you be successful. And let's make it all work. We're happy that you're coming in.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And I think the main thing there is just ask the question. If you're listening to this podcast and you still have questions about what it is that you're going to experience when you get to Melton Truck Lines orientation, talk to your recruiter, your recruiter's initial contact. And if they don't know, they'll get with one of us and ask the question, get back to you, or they'll get you in touch with us. And definitely ask the question when you get here. So communicate. Communication is the key at Melton Truck Lines, whether it's communicating with your driver manager once you're out over the road, or communicating with our orientation staff as you're trying to get out to be over the road, communicating with your trainer when you're out there doing your training, if that's the path that you're taking. It's all about talking about stuff.
Absolutely. We're here to help you.
Thank you for listening to the Melton Truck Lines True Blue podcast. I hope you gained some insights and some tips into how to make your Melton orientation the best experience it can possibly be. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate us on iTunes or Stitcher, or you can leave comments at www.meltontruck.com/podcast. Tell us what you'd like to hear on the Melton True Blue podcast.